Got something on your mind? Tell Lisa all about it. 203-333-9422. It's the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
I just want to find 11,780 votes.
That's President Trump as I would say that's a pretty significant sentence out of the 1 hour conversation in which he had Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State of Georgia, on the phone. He was on his end with Mark Meadows, his chief of staff, and it looked like a pretty significant intimidation attempt to get Mr. Raffensperger to do whatever he could. After all, he's a Republican too, said President Trump, to somehow figure out a way to create turmoil or overturn or do something in which it wouldn't be quite as settled as it is that Georgia was lost to President Trump and went to Joe Biden. Joining us now on the air to talk about this and what is looming in our halls of Congress on January 6th is our own Senator Richard Blumenthal, who I will remind you was also our former Attorney General for many, many years. Senator Blumenthal, thanks for coming on the show. I want to know, what was your first reaction when you heard the audio of this conversation?
Lisa, thanks for having me on. I was actually speechless. I couldn't believe my ears. So astonishing and appalling. This kind of threat and intimidation is what you hear from gangster. It's mob talk. When I was federal I heard that kind of talk from the gangsters and mobsters that we prosecuted, threatening people if they didn't do something, and in this case, find votes, seeking to overturn the lawful results of an election. Fortunately, the state officials in Georgia stood up to the president, but the potential criminal violations here are absolutely repugnant and anti-democratic, morally offensive. And if it were anyone but Donald Trump, there might well be an investigation beginning right now.
Yeah, let's talk about that. And by the way, I think Brad Raffensperger goes down as a hero of democracy, for the record. And he knew that this was going to happen. He said that. He sort of knew this was going to happen. And he waited. He actually waited, Senator Blumenthal, before releasing the audio. He waited to be baited by President Trump, who tweeted something that was not true about the conversation. And then to contradict him, he released the audio. Do you know what I mean? Like, he waited. Anyway, I just think it's interesting. You say if it was anyone other than Donald Trump, they would be prosecuted. So let me just ask you, playing devil's advocate here, why are we making such an enormous exception for Donald Trump as an individual and as a president when it seems like day after day after day, there are things that he does that if a regular human being did, they would have to face the complete wrath of the law?
As a purely legal matter, Lisa, the President of the United States is different from the rest of us. The Department of Justice has a specific policy. It's not law. It's not regulation. It's a policy that a sitting president cannot be criminally charged. Hence the result of the Mueller investigation, where he said, looks like obstruction of justice, 13 separate violations of the law, but the Department of Justice has a policy that the sitting president cannot be charged or indicted with a crime. So that's the legal reason. But, of course, the standard for Donald Trump has been reduced so low. You know, it's almost a gutter-level standard that we've come to expect this kind of thing from him. And I think people rightly see it as offensive and unacceptable, the vast majority of Americans. And fortunately, we have in these Georgia officials people who take seriously their oath to the Constitution. For the president to say that there was fraud in the Georgia election, absolutely untrue. It's a contention rejected by his own attorney general, who said there is no evidence of fraud, by the head of the Department of Homeland Security, also rejected. He said there was no fraud in these elections. 60 separate court decisions have rejected the claims of fraud. The president has some really kind of cockamamie lawyers in his inner circle now who are kind of encouraging him to express these opinions, but they reflect an alternative universe, conspiracy theories that have no basis in fact. They've been rejected again and again and again by reputable state officials, by federal law enforcers, by courts, by Trump judicial appointees. And so what we have going on here is just claims by the president flailing for an effort to overturn the results of an election that has been established lawful.
I saw this morning, Senator Blumenthal, this was astonishing to me, even, you know, even by my standards, but of course my capacity for outrage is still very alive, that the approximately 144 congressmen, in other words, in the House of Representatives, Republicans, have announced that they are going to try and logjam what happens on Wednesday. And yet, over the weekend, a conservative Republican who was opposed on principle to this insisted that, and was successful in insisting that the House take a vote as to whether or not the House itself should be seated. And by an overwhelming majority, well over 300 votes, they seated themselves in the House on the basis of that same election that they are now saying up ballot is a fraud, but down ballot is perfectly good. Did you see that?
I saw it. It's hard to believe, but what we have to expect on Wednesday is an effort to challenge the delivery of the vote. It's kind of a ceremonial function, normally, where the House and Senate in joint session, usually attended by almost no one, receives the results of the election. This year will be different because a number of Republican members of Congress are going to raise objections to receiving that vote. Their objections will be based on complete conspiracy theory speculation, no facts, no law, and unfortunately it will be both in the House and the Senate, and it is illogical, as you've just pointed out. They say the down ballot was done properly, but the presidential not.
Unbelievable. I mean, it's like beyond belief. Same voting, right? Same voting. People showed up, they filled out a ballot in an election, and the ones, you know, pertaining to them, those are good. Those we'll accept, but the ones pertaining to the president, we won't. I mean, I can't. Senator Blumenthal, good luck to you in Washington, D.C., the land of the crazies. I mean, it's beyond belief what's going on there.
Thank you.
I got to ask you one other thing, because our audience is very concerned, and I'm very concerned, and that is much closer to home. There's frustration and a feeling of a lack of transparency with respect to the vaccine right here in Connecticut. People know that there are doses that have gone unvaccinated, but I had an elderly man call the show in the last hour, and he's lives alone with his wife. He's not in a congregate care facility, but he is certainly, in terms of his age, qualified to be getting this vaccine. I think he said he was 79, and he'd like to know why his doctor has no information for him, why he doesn't have a date. You know, and it feels to us here in Connecticut like this process is not being handled in a very organized way.
That's a great question. And first point, in contrast to all these political stunts, opportunistic sideshows that we're seeing from Republicans who are really running for 2020. They want to be presidential candidates. That's the reason that they're raising these objections, many of them. What's real right now is the need for vaccines and to distribute the vaccines, to roll out many, many, many more doses of vaccines, whether it's Pfizer, Moderna, eventually we'll see AstraZeneca and others. The numbers of vaccines provided so far in the range of maybe 2.8 million is way short of the goal of 20 million from this administration by the end of the year. And that goal is abysmally short of what it should be. We need a massive national effort. Priority number one, distribute the vaccine that's available. 100 million doses in the first 100 days of the Biden presidency is what Joe Biden has said, and I thoroughly endorse it. But we need a commitment of resources to provide the vials and syringes, the vaccine itself, the training for workers, the clinics. They ought to be open every hour of the day so that people can go there and get the vaccine when they have the time to do it, to make it available in the congregate living facilities, as you've just suggested, in nursing homes, in hospitals, anywhere that
frontline
workers are going.
But Senator Blumenthal, but Senator Blumenthal, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think what you need to hear is that people are waiting to know when they can appropriately get the vaccine. They're waiting to hear from their doctors. If they were told from their doctors it's 4 weeks from now, then they would know it's 4 weeks from now. There's a frustration. There doesn't seem to be any organization about anything. Nobody knows even who to call. When we call our doctors, they say they're waiting from other people. I'm going to tell you that I heard from a doctor friend of mine in New York that a certain hospital, chain is only giving the vaccine to doctors and nurses that work for them as a first priority. They're not giving it out to other doctors in the wider community. That's a New York chain. And that's very reputable evidence. I mean, it's a very reliable source. So I think there's a problem. There's a problem with the public now. Now we're getting agitated. The vaccine is here. Who do we call? How do we know what number we're on the list? What do we do?
Here's the very simple answer, Lisa. We need a new administration. We need an administration that will, in fact, provide the organization and information that will make sure the vaccine is distributed and people know when it's going to be available. We've been calling for it for weeks. Let me repeat. We've been calling for it for weeks. And what do you hear from this administration? Everything's fine. So, let me just put it very bluntly. January 20th can't come soon enough. Joe Biden has said the vaccine has to be provided reliably. You should trust it, have confidence in it. That's why he rolled up his sleeve. A lot of people want the vaccine, but others are reluctant to take it. We need everybody to have it and have it accessible and at any place where they can go, their doctor's offices, the federally qualified health clinics, hospitals, the places where they work, and it has to be available free of charge. We need a massive national commitment.
Now, you got your shot, right? I think I saw it on News 12, right? You got your shot. You stuck your arm out, right?
In late December, the vaccine was made available to members of Congress. The doctors in Congress and my personal physician recommended we take it. I wanted to demonstrate my own trust and confidence in the vaccine, and I'm going to be going for the second dose this coming Wednesday.
Did you get any side effects from the first dose?
None. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you a story. I was in the chair waiting to get it. I was talking to somebody in the room, and I turned to the nurse and I said, okay, you can give me the shot now. And she said, I've already done it.
Oh.
Totally painless. Felt nothing.
Good.
No after effects. No side effects whatsoever.
Well, that's good. Did you get the Moderna or the Pfizer?
Pfizer.
Pfizer. Okay. Just so you know, a good
but
friend of mine,
there's no indication
Dr. Moderna,
that Moderna. Yeah, there's no indication Moderna is any different. It's the same technology, the messenger RNA. We'll soon have the AstraZeneca vaccine. And very important to remind people, even after they get the vaccine, please still wear a mask. Please still wash hands. Please still physically distance, because a lot of folks have not received it yet. And we need to continue those precautions. That's the way we'll conquer this pandemic.
Let me ask you something. Do you think that, Senator Blumenthal, do you think that the order of priority for people in America should be based on age as the most significant criteria in terms of the distribution of vaccine? Because that's what they're doing in Israel. That's what Harry Arora wrote an op-ed. He came on our show. He's a state rep in Connecticut. He believes that, based on data, not just out of his own head, in terms of the likelihood of death and removing the likelihood of the most serious consequence. We know that there are outliers. We know that there are statistical people in every age category who've perished from COVID-19. But when you look at the graphs, the vast majority of those who have died from COVID-19, particularly in Connecticut, have been people over the age of 70. So do you think that it should be in deciding, you know, everyone over 75 and then everyone over 70 and then everyone over 65? Or do you think that it should be based on what you do for a living?
The frontline workers who care for people in the hospitals and nursing homes certainly should have this vaccine. That's what they do for a living, but they are exposing themselves and risking their lives every day. So they need the vaccine. People over 65 who have comorbidities certainly should be given priority. People over 75 should be given priority. We need to vaccinate as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, if they are exposed. And I think it can't be said too often. More of the vaccine should be provided as quickly as possible. The National Defense Act should be used. The Defense Production Act should be invoked. It's a Korean War law that permits the President of the United States to say to the vaccine makers, to the distributors, to the vial and syringe makers, you convert more of your assembly lines to produce it, and other manufacturers should convert their assembly line. We need a national effort that gives people the knowledge when they can get it, where they can get it. And at some point, we may need to mandate it in certain lines of work. If people, for example, who are caring for our senior citizens in nursing homes are reluctant to take it, maybe there should be a mandate. I'm hoping that there'll be voluntary compliance.
Well, I can tell you right now in Connecticut, there is not voluntary compliance. I know for sure, and I can tell you off air how I know, that many home health care aides that go between assisted living facilities and have jobs for private people in their homes are not taking the vaccine. They don't want to. I can tell you that for sure.
You know, there's some who want it. Yeah. There are many who want it and can't get it. There are many who can get it and won't take it. So
that's
why we need a new administration, Lisa, who will impose a national vaccine policy, just like we need a national testing policy. A national vaccine policy is necessary because, remember, until we are all safe, none of us is safe. That's the nature of a pandemic.
Thank you, Senator Richard Blumenthal. Good
Thank
luck
you.
On Wednesday. Good luck. Really, we'll be watching.
Thank you.
We'll be
Thank
watching.
You. Take care, Lisa.
Bye. That's the brave wild west of Congress now. 203-333-9422. We'll be right back.